I had a friend of mine, I told you this one time before, I had a friend of mine who's been through a lot of relationship problems, and he just went through his third divorce, and it was absolutely awful, and he's dating again and all that kind of good stuff. And about a year ago, he came over to my house to talk to me about all this relationship pain that he was in. And as he was talking to me, he kept saying, I just need someone in my life who's going to love me for me. I just need someone who's going to love me for me. I just need someone who's going to love me for me. I just need someone to love me. And I said, okay, that's cool. I said, but are you going to work on the things that keep causing your relationships to break apart? I said, you going to work on you? I said, because you keep talking about finding someone else to love you for you. I said, but what about you? Are you loving other people for them? I said, in those patterns in your life that you need to work on that's making it so hard for other people to love you for you, I said, are you going to work on those patterns too? And so a lot of times when we think about the major thing that makes us the most unhappy in life, relationships, we don't think about what we're doing. We always think about what the other person is doing. Amen. And so today we continue with our current new series entitled The Flame. And I think that this series is going to be engaging and interesting and relevant to you because, and I'll tell you why, this series is all about romance and that's what's on our mind. This series is all about love, it's all about dating, it's all about sex, it's all about marriage, it's all about being single again or getting into a relationship again or dating again. So I think this series will have something for everyone. And we talk about this subject every February because this is a month of Valentine's Day, and so this is what we're thinking about. So this is really the perfect time to focus on those feelings, the perfect time to focus on those issues and those questions and those fears and those uncertainties about relationships. And so welcome to week two of The Flame. And I've been looking forward to this study, and the reason why I've been looking forward to it is because I know it really has something for everyone, especially for those of you who want to get better at your relationships, especially for those of you who want to get better at your romantic relationships. By the way, the majority of the Bible, most of the New Testament, was written to you and I to teach us not how to get to heaven or not how to avoid hell or not how to stay away from sin. Most of the New Testament was written to you and I so you and I can learn how to properly and lovingly relate to other people in our life. All people. The Bible basically teaches that you and I can disagree with each other, but we have to love each other unconditionally. If you want to know why Jesus came and what the Bible is about, it's about relationships, 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 and not just romantic relationships, but just relationships in general. If you and I don't know how to love other people properly, if we don't know how to forgive other people properly, if we don't know how to be patient and long-suffering with other people properly, then no one wants to hear about the God that we say that we love. And so when God sent his son here, he sent his son here to teach us how to love other people and how to forgive other people and relate to other people properly. And so we're in this study and we're going to talk about romantic relationships. But first, very quickly, let me talk to you about a third myth. We covered two myths last week, a third myth that many times can hurt our thinking when it comes to romantic relationships. And many times these myths that we believe, these assumptions that we buy into, it can set us up for failure right now in our relationships or for failure in our future relationships. But first, before I give you the third myth, very quickly, let's recover myth number one and myth number two. Myth number one is this on the screen. You're still with me, Sam. I'm still with you. It's the right person myth. And this myth always states that if I could just find the right person for me, then all of my relationship problems will be fixed. And the reason why my past relationship problems haven't worked out, the reason why my past marriage or marriages didn't work out, is because I was just with a person that was not the right person for me. And then when we talk to other people about it, we'll say, man, my marriage didn't work out. My relationship didn't work out. And what do they tell us? Well, maybe you were just with a person that wasn't the right person for you. Maybe you were just with the wrong person. But there's nothing in the Bible or even in the world that teaches you and I how to go out and meet the right person. But there's plenty in the Bible and there's plenty in the world that teaches you and I how to become the right person for someone else. A lot of times when two people meet each other and they fall in love and they fall in lust and there's excitement and there's all this freshness and newness about the relationship, a lot of times we don't sit back and think about us becoming the person that they need. A lot of times we just think, is this the right person for me? Is this the person that's going to love me for me? And a lot of times two people come together and everything's new, and then once that starts to level out, both people start thinking, I don't know if this person's loving me the way that I need to be loved. Well, I don't know if that person's loving me the way that I need to be loved. Well, maybe I'm not with the right person. Well, maybe I'm not with the right person. But when you have two people and both of them are devoted to becoming what the other person needs, If both people are committed and devoted to becoming what the other person needs, nothing can shake that relationship. Amen. In fact, Jesus said this one time. Jesus said the person who hears my words and obeys my words, puts my words into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the wind was blowing and the storm was raging, his house stood because it had a very strong foundation. And then Jesus said this, the person who hears my words and does not do them or obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the wind was blowing and the rain was falling, and the storm was raging, his house fell. And Jesus says, great was the fall of his house because it had a very weak foundation. Listen, just being a Christian doesn't give a marriage or a relationship a strong foundation. Just making promises to each other doesn't give a marriage or a relationship a strong foundation. The strongest foundation that will ensure that your marriage or your dating relationship or your other relationships stand the test of time against storms, the wind blowing, the rain falling, the storms raging, because we all know this is true. In your love relationships, in your romantic relationships, in your dating relationships, and in your marriages, we all know this, the storms are going to come. Amen. Financial storms, emotional storms, family storms, sexual storms, health storms, the storms are going to come. The rain's going to fall. The wind's going to blow. And if you want your life to stand and your relationship to stand and your marriage to stand, it must have a solid foundation. And the solid foundation is not, I wonder if I'm being loved the way I need to be loved. I wonder if I'm with the right person for me. That's not the foundation. The foundation is both people come together and they both work on becoming what the other person needs. Amen. Go ahead, give it up. I think that's pretty good. So the question is not, and when am I going to meet the right person for me? The question is, are you becoming the right person for someone else? And are you working on your patterns? Are you working on your heart? Are you working on your outlook? Are you working on your relationship habits so you can become the right person for someone else? I tell our high school students and our college students, our young people, this all the time. They always come to me with this urgency. Tony, I haven't met the right person for me. And they always have this ideal person of who they want to meet in their mind. I call them their weird science person. I call Jackie my weird science girl. You ever seen that movie Weird Science? It was back in the 80s, a long time ago. But these two nerds in high school, they somehow put together this perfect woman for them. It was their weird science woman. I tell Jackie all the time, you're my weird science girl. You're the perfect person for me. But in our mind, growing up, we have this ideal person that we want to meet and get married to one day. We want them to look like this. We want them to believe like this. We want them to take care of their money in this way. We want them to vote this way. We want them to see the world in this way. And so we have our ideal person. And I always ask our young people, let's say that you meet the person you're looking for. Are you becoming the one that the one you're looking for is looking for? If you meet the person you've always wanted to be with, are they going to want to be with you? And so the question is not, when will you meet the right person for you? The question is, are you working on yourself right now to become the right person that someone else is looking for? Amen? We move on. The second myth is this. You're still with me. Sam's still with you. It's the promise myth. Now, by the way, let me just say this. No one lays down at night and fantasizes about becoming the right person for someone else, do we? We always lay back at night and fantasize about meeting the right person. But we should really start to retrain our imagination and our focus on becoming the right person, because you will never go wrong on working on yourself. Amen? So the second myth is this. It's called the promise myth. And this myth usually states something like this, that I can promise my way into a better relationship. Almost like the promises that you make to each other can replace your need to prepare to love each other properly. Everyone look right here. This weekend, all over Louisiana, all over the United States, all over the world, this weekend, Friday night or Saturday, people are going to get married everywhere. They're going to go to the courthouse, they're going to go to churches, they're going to elope, they're going to go to the beach, and they're going to have marriage ceremonies. And at those ceremonies, they're going to say words to each other. And we're going to call those words vows or promises. Everyone look right here. I didn't get any emails from this last week, but I expect to before the series is over. And I told you this last week. I've had so many people say, well, listen, we got to work this out because we made vows before God. Okay, cool. Well, I made my promises before God, and so really we shouldn't be having these problems. Everyone look right here. You cannot vow or promise your way into relationship maturity. And let me tell you what speaks louder than your promises and your vows on your wedding day: your patterns. When people say, I've made vows and promises before God, let me tell you what those promises mean. Let me tell you how much weight they hold. Zero. Those words mean nothing compared to your patterns. You can stand on your wedding day and say, I promise to love you forever. But if you don't work on your addictions, you cannot promise to love them correctly. If you don't work on your patterns, if you don't work on your habits, if you don't work on how you communicate and how you forgive, you cannot fulfill your promises. By the way, making promises doesn't make you capable at being good at relationships. It just makes you accountable to keep your promises. And when you're accountable to keep your promises that you're not capable to keep, that just makes you miserable and everyone else miserable. Amen? So look right here. Promises never take the place of preparation and working hard in a relationship. The third myth that we're going to talk about today is this. You still with me, Sam? Still with you? It's called I'm running out of time myth. Now, running out of time can certainly be true when talking about retirement, when talking about your health issues, when talking about creating moments with your kids before they reach adulthood, or finding your keys because you're late for church. So running out of time is legitimate there. But when it comes to finding and ending up with someone that you love and that relationship works, let me just say this, everyone look right here. Time is not against you at all. Time is on your friend. It is your friend. Listen, just because everyone else around you is finally getting married, or just because everyone else around you is finally having kids, doesn't mean that you need to rush into it at all. When it comes to romantic relationships, time is never against you. Time is on your side. Time is your friend. And so actually keep this in mind today. Remember this. It's never love that causes us to get into a hurry. It's actually loneliness. And whenever we let loneliness instead of love lead us, then we usually get ahead of ourselves and we end up in an exhausting relationship again. Now, this is a bad way to think about relationships. Anytime someone lets loneliness and self-gratification take them by the hand and lead them in relationships, they're always going to end up in a place that they regret. They'll always end up in another relationship repeating the same patterns that broke their heart previously over and over and over again. And so never let loneliness or self-gratification lead you. Loneliness is urgent. Love is steady. Loneliness is in a hurry. Love is secure. No one should settle for a red flag relationship just because you're reaching a certain age. No one should settle for a red flag relationship just because you haven't had the kids that you thought you wanted when you were little and you're imagining your life later on when you grew up. No one should settle for a bad relationship just because you feel like you're running out of time. Amen? So don't try to find the right person for you. Become the right person for someone else. And don't make promises and thinking those promises can replace your need to prepare and work and change habits and patterns in your life. They never do. Work hard. And also, don't get in a rush because time is on your side and time is your friend. If you're still with me, I'm still with you. And so I think this study really has something for everyone. So for everyone who's in love, for everyone who's trying to stay in love, for everyone who's married, trying to stay married, for everyone who's dating or who desperately, desperately, desperately just wants a date, or everyone who's thinking about dating, or for everyone who's thinking about dating again, or for everyone who's scared to death to date because they can't do the online thing and so they're looking around in church today just hoping someone says hi. This is for you, amen. Now, let me just tell the fellas, if you want a date, grow a set and go ask her out. Amen? Listen. Welcome to the water's edge, number one. But don't sit around saying, oh, Lord, please send me somebody. Listen, there's a lot around. Hey, just go pick one and ask them out, okay? It'll just get some courage in you. But like we pointed out last week, we talked about this idea of love. And in John chapter 15, Jesus gave us his definition and his command of love, and it really kind of gave us a very new way to look at love, and it was really a game changer. And so this is what Jesus said about loving each other. Notice this on the screen, John 15, 12. This is my commandment, Jesus says, love each other in the same way that I've loved you. Love each other in the same way that Jesus Christ has loved you. But today, I want us to take that just a step further, and this is what I want us to talk about. So if you're still with me, I'm still with you. Notice this on the screen. Today I want to talk about how to avoid the groundhog date. Now, do y'all remember that movie, Groundhog Day, with Bill Murray in it? He woke up every single day and he repeated the same day over and over again, and he couldn't figure out how to stop it. So every morning he woke up, the same things would happen to him. He would do the same things every day for lunch, same thing, night, same thing. And so he was stuck in this cycle of the same day over and over again. Everyone look right here. Some of y'all date that way. Some of y'all marry that way. The same problems over and over again. How do I fix this? I'm in another situation just like my last time. The same tensions, the same arguments, the same divisions, the same frustrations, the same uncertainties, the same fears, the same confusion. It's like we get into this cycle of repeating our mistakes in relationships over and over and over again. We're a bunch of groundhog daters. Or we could put it this way. Notice this on the screen. How to break the relationship habits that keep breaking your heart. So many of you in here today, you're so miserably unhappy on the inside because of relationships. And those relationships keep breaking your heart. But understand, you have a part to play in those patterns that keep causing those relationships to break your heart. And so today I want us to talk about how do we break those patterns that keep getting me into these relationships that's so exhausting and so frustrating. Or we could put it this way, how to make sure that your next time does not look like your last time in relationships. Now, here's a great question for all of us to think about. Why are relationship habits, patterns, and directions for you and I so difficult to work on and change in our life? And the reason why this question is so important is because of another observation that I feel like is probably true for almost everyone in this building today. And this is what it is on the screen. You're still with me, so I'm still with you. Notice this morning. We learn from our mistakes in the areas that matter the least. And we tend to repeat our mistakes in the areas that matter the most. And this is especially true in our relationships. When putting together a new bicycle at Christmas time, you and I have learned from our mistakes. When setting up our new Wi-Fi router at the house, we learn from our mistakes from the last time. These things really don't matter. But when it comes to communicating with someone else, forgiving someone else, not keeping a record of wrongs, not getting into a back and forth tennis match with each other, trying to prove a point instead of trying to understand each other, comment, listen, just clamming up, not talking, being silent, or losing your temper and rage and all these types of things. These are things that will tear down relationships, and we never seem to learn in the big areas. We repeat our mistakes over and over again where it counts, and we learn in the little areas. And then it usually comes down to this, and notice this morning, and this is why we do this. It comes down to our relationship assumptions that we have failed to examine and evaluate. Now, everyone look right here. When you were a child, you were given relationship assumptions based on the environment that you were raised in that conditioned you. Some of you were conditioned environments where everyone screamed and yelled, and then they forgave, and they just made out after that, and everything was okay. Some of you grew up in environments where no one said a word. They did their disagreements behind closed doors, and so you don't know how to fight correctly. You don't know how to forgive. You don't know how to argue correctly because you were conditioned. And then we heard our sister say stuff about relationships. We heard our brother say stuff about relationships. We heard our cousins talk about relationships. We heard our aunts and uncles talk about relationships. And so we were given all of these myths and assumptions. And a lot of times we hold on to them as a relationship truth. And when we do, it damages the way that we think about relationships, and it sets us up for pain and failure in future relationships. You and I have unexamined romantic relationship assumptions. And many times, if we don't deal with them and face them, then we're going to continue to go down the wrong roads in our relationships. In fact, let's identify a few of these false assumptions today. Number one, you're still with me, so I'm still with you. There's the experience assumption on the screen. Some people think that experience will make you wiser. Everyone look right here. Experience in relationships does not make you wiser. It just makes you older. Amen. That's what experience in relationships does. Experience alone never guarantees that your next relationship will be better than your last relationship. A lot of times people think, man, I've been through it. I should have learned by now, so this probably won't happen to me again. It probably will happen to you again. Because you're thinking that just because you have experience, that's going to guarantee that your next time doesn't look like your last time. So experience doesn't guarantee anything but aging you. On the other hand, notice this morning on the screen. Experience doesn't make us better at all, but evaluated experience is actually what makes us better. And when we do this in the small areas, we usually learn. But many times we don't evaluate our relationship experiences in the big areas, so we don't keep repeating our mistakes. Everyone look right here. There's nothing wrong with you sitting down and looking at your past relationships and say, what did I do? Let me examine this. Let me evaluate this. How was I exhausting? How did I contribute to this? How did I fail at communicating? How did I fail at showing them love and making them feel appreciated? What's my part to play in all of these things? So experience never makes you better, but evaluated experience always makes you better. But many times the reason why we don't learn in these big areas is because when we do finally examine why that relationship went bad, where do we usually start? We don't start with us, do we? They're such a jerk. They're so rude. They're so thoughtless. It was their fault. If you're going to start somewhere, don't start with them, start with you. The second assumption is this, and if you're still with me, I'm still with you. It's the know better assumption. And this assumption states this: now that I know better, I'll do better. And we all should understand this, that just knowing better doesn't give you the discipline or the strength to actually do what's right. And when you and I are usually confronted with a relationship mistake, what do we usually say to the other person? I know, I'm sorry. As if to say, I know, get off my back. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I know what I did. I know what I need to deal with. I'm sorry. As if to let them know, now that I know better, I'll do better. Everyone look right here. That doesn't work with our kids, does it? And you knew better before you did wrong the first time. So knowing better, that assumption doesn't just make you do better. The third assumption is this. You're still with me, so I'm still with you. There's the time assumption. And this one usually leads us to think this. Time is against me. I'm not getting any younger. All my friends are finding someone. But that's loneliness talking, not wisdom and not love. Everyone look right here. If you've experienced heartbreak in a relationship, there is nothing wrong with you taking a break, taking some time off. In fact, whenever someone goes through a divorce and they're getting ready to get remarried, I always tell them, hey, try to take 2 years off. Now, the reason why I say 2 years is because I can't talk them into taking 5 years off. Amen? But I always say, take 2 years off. And this isn't anything from God or the Bible. This is just personal opinion. When I got my degree from Bible college, I got my degree in relationship recovery and divorce recovery because even back then, I knew that one of the greatest sources of pain was people's relationships and marriages. But there's nothing wrong, and through my studies, I've realized this, there's nothing wrong if you've been through a painful relationship and it ended, just to take some time off to examine and to evaluate yourself and the part that you play in it and your contribution. When we blame our relationship fails on someone else, that actually gives you and I permission to smuggle all of our bad problems into the next relationship. And then that just sets us up to be rinse and repeat groundhog daters or marriers. When you let loneliness and self-gratification take you by the hand because you think time is against you, you will end up in an exhausting, heartbreaking place every single time. Amen? Now today I want us to do this very quickly before we get ready to close. I want to give you the first step to changing your relationship patterns. I want to give you the first step from the Bible to taking your dating relationships or your marriage relationship and placing it on a better path and on a better road. And if we get this first step right in our relationships, then after that, you and I can pretty much figure everything else out. Last week in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul gave us the definition of what love is. Today, we take it a step further, and Paul tells the Romans something about the way they think specifically about relationships. Notice this on the screen. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, then the king will find acceptable. This is truly or the logical way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Notice a few key things here in this passage. In verse 1, Paul says this, I plead with you, I beg you. And the reason why Paul says, I beg you and I plead with you is because what he says after that, you and I are going to show great resistance to. And this is what he says after that. I beg you, in spite of and because of everything God has done for you, to give your complete life over to Jesus. Everything that you are, everything that you understand about yourself, try to give that to Jesus. Try to give him every ounce of your heart. Try to give him every ounce of your emotions. Try to give him your future. Try to give him your relationships. Try to be like a living sacrifice. Lay your life on the altar as an open book and say, God, do with me whatever you want to do. He says, I plead with you. I beg you to give everything you are over to Jesus Christ. Let him be your passion in life. Let him be your priority in life. Let him be your heart in this life. And then he says this, because of everything that God has done for you, because God has loved you, he died for you, he forgave you, he gave you second chances and third chances, he has saved us, he has redeemed us, he gives us purpose in life, he fills our emptiness in our heart. Because of everything that Jesus has done for you, give him your heart, give him your emotions, give him your mind, give him your life, give him your future, give him your relationships. And when you do this, then you'll be able to understand what the will of God is for your life. Then you can see clearly the way God wants you to go, especially in your relationships. Amen. And then he says this in verse 2. He goes, and don't copy the behavior of this world. As we look around us today, we see people that love differently than we do. As Jesus followers, we don't love like this world. We love unconditionally. While everyone else gets online and they tear each other down over politics, we love each other that we have differences with. Unconditionally. Amen. We forgive differently. We forgive our enemies, even those people that spite us, we forgive them. We love differently. We forgive. We feed differently. We serve differently. We shelter differently. And then he says this, don't copy the behaviors of this world, which means this, if you want to have a different dating relationship, then don't date like everyone else dates in the world. If you want to have a different marriage, then don't do marriage the way everyone else does marriage in this world. Be different. Follow Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Give it all to God, and he will show you his will, and he will help you break out of those assumptions and those patterns. Amen. And then he says this in verse 2. This is what will happen. Notice this on the screen. But let God transform you into a new person by simply changing the way that you think. So everyone look right here. The type of church that you stepped into today is not one of those churches who says, hey man, in just a moment the music's going to kick up and I want you to run down the aisle and I'm going to lay my hands on you. You're going to feel something that's going to change your life. None of that's going to happen in here today. We're not going to run laps, puke up demons, and speak in a bunch of different languages today so you can change your life. Let me tell you how your life changes by letting God change the way you think. The word repent just means to change your mind. I just spit on you. I'm so sorry. Apologize. Change my spitting habits too. Repent, change your mind. And then Paul says God will transform your life by letting him transform the way that you think. And that's the key. Life transformation. You have to renew your mind, which is always a process. When you restore old furniture, old house, old car, you first sand off the old before you put on the new. You know what that means? That means renewal is a process. And if you want to be better at your romantic relationships, the first thing you have to do is take off those old thoughts, those old myths, those old assumptions, and you have to fill them with godlier thoughts and better thoughts and newer thoughts. I've never heard anyone share this story with me. I sure am glad we rushed into that marriage. Woo, Pastor Tony, I sure am glad we rushed into that date. I so am glad we rushed into sex. I so am glad we rushed into it. No one's ever shared that story with me. On the other hand, I've heard this countless times. I wish I'd have thought about that more. I wish I would have evaluated that more. I wish I'd have opened my eyes up a little bit more. I wish I would have listened to their advice a little bit more because this relationship ended up just like the last one. I've heard that story over and over and over again. So we have to renew the way that we think. And Paul says, this is the payoff. When you renew the way that you think and you give your life over to Jesus, then you can find and discover the will of God for your life and for your relationships. And so keep this in mind this morning. We're almost done. You're still with me. Sam's still with you. This is a lot better than anything you can get on TV today. Amen. I'm helping you. Okay, so here we go. Next one is this. Regret and resolve are not enough to not repeat our mistakes. We need a mind renewal. I'm sorry, baby. I'll never do that again. You probably will. I feel so bad. But you'll probably do it again if that's all you have. If all you have is regret and some sort of resolve to not feel that way again, you'll probably do it all over again. But if you want to change your relationship patterns, then you have to renew your mind. If you keep thinking the way you've always thought, you're going to keep getting the same problems you've always got. And listen, every relationship mistake that you've ever made in this life, at the time you made it, it made complete sense to you, didn't it? It did. The first marriage that you got into that didn't work out, you just had to marry them. In fact, sometimes you get so desperate just to get married to somebody that you do things just to get them to marry you. And then, after 2 years, you think, I made a big mistake. But 2 years before, at the time, it made complete sense. Every dating relationship you've ever been in made complete sense at the time. So just because it makes complete sense at the time doesn't mean it's beneficial for you down the road. So you have to change the way that you think. If it didn't work out then, it's probably not going to work out now. Amen? Amen. Something else to remember. Notice this morning. You're still with me. I'm still with you. Renewing the way that you think takes time and focus. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to recognize and examine those bad assumptions, those bad myths that you keep acting on, and you have to filter them out of your mind and fill your mind with the things of God. So let's name just a couple of assumptions today as we close that we need to filter out of our thinking. The first one is this on the screen. Bad assumption number one. This makes me happy right now. Okay, cool. But what makes you short-term happy can make you long-term miserable. Amen? Listen, change your thinking pattern. Just because it makes you happy right now doesn't mean it's going to pay off down the road. Again, this is what you're doing. You're letting instant gratification and loneliness lead you by the hand. Just because you feel something now doesn't mean it's right later. Take a step back and examine and evaluate. If you see patterns, if you see directions in that relationship that reminds you of how the last relationship went, understand if you go left, you're always going to end up left. If you go north, you're never going to accidentally end up east. You'll end up north every time. So your intention never determines where you end up. And in relationships, it works the same way. Just wanting and intending to have a good relationship doesn't mean it's going to be great. You have to evaluate the road it's going down. And once you evaluate the road it's going down, then you can take a step back and say, man, I don't know if I want to marry into this. And you have that right if you're not married yet. You have that right. As you're dating, notice the road, notice the direction, notice the issues. If it reminds you of past issues, maybe think differently, that just making promises to each other ain't going to fix this one. There needs to be some hard work, amen? Another bad assumption on the screen is this. Man, y'all quiet today, son. I must be messing in y'all's tater patch. Relationships fulfill my desires. Well, not really. Desires are appetites. You keep chasing appetites, you're just going to get hungrier. Listen to me. A romantic relationship is not an appetite filler. The only person who can fill those desires in your heart is Jesus. And if you're expecting the other person in your life to do what only Jesus can do for you, they're going to fail every time. You've placed the wrong expectations on them to meet your appetites and to meet your desires. A relationship is not an appetite filler. It's not a desire filler. Only God can do that for us. That's why we surrender everything we are to God. Amen? And so this is the last thing I want to share with you today, and this is the right way to think about relationships. Everyone look right here. This is why we date. This is why we fall in love. This is why we eventually get married. It's not because time was running out. It's not because I need to hurry up and have kids. It's not because everyone else around me was. It's not because, we're pregnant now, so we got to do something. It's not because of any of those things. This is why we date. This is why we fall in love. This is why we get married. Notice this on the screen. A relationship is never a desire filler. Instead, it's a commitment to a process of growing in love, friendship, and service to the other person. This is what it looks like. Both people are on this path, working hard to become what the other person needs. If you're in love with someone today, if you're married to someone today, if you're dating someone today, not only do you have needs, they have needs. In a relationship, if you enter into it, this is what it's for. You commit yourself to a lifelong process of growing in your love for that person, in your compassion for that person, in your patience for that person, and in your service to that person, and in your friendship to that person together. And when both of you work on doing that together, the storms are going to come, but your house will not fall. Amen. It'll stand the test of time. Go ahead, give it up. I think that's pretty good. So next week, we're going to talk about part three, about moving out of childish love into grown-up love. If you want to know more about next steps today, just go to our Welcome Center. Let's pray, and then you can be dismissed.